listening? It is I, Numator479. According to our studies of your puny mammalian race, we discovered you like very good coffee. And while it is our evolutionary purpose to cause you psychic torment, we want you awake and vivacious to give it. So try our new blend from Spring Hill Jack Coffee, Reptilian in the Morning. Our proprietary blend of lightly roasted cacao husks will have you immediately energized upon emerging from the pain cloaca with all your slippery new eggs. Thanks, honey. Hot, I'm cold-blooded. Thanks to Spring Hill Jack and Last Podcast on the Left, I'm ready to get out there and eat some babies. Get out of the way, Hillary Clinton!
There's no place to escape to.
This is the Last Podcast
on the Left.
Side stories?
That's when the cannibalism started.
Side stories, yeah. Are you recording on your end over there?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Man, yeah. I am ready.
You are.
To do a show today, buddy.
I know you're ready. I'm ready too.
There needs to be a medal for us, for people like me, that arrive to work with COVID.
Yeah.
Right? Well, there needs to be, you know, like people who work at restaurants, mm-hmm. bars,
yeah.
amusement parks. Who arrived to work with COVID,
yeah,
knowing that the gears of capitalism must move forward, know that the laughter must continue, because what happens when there is no laughter? What's that sound? Cacophonous silence. And guess what? You know what happens with cacophonous silence, right? Fucking things come in and jam the gap. It comes in and jam the gap. We got all of the hustlers there, because what do they say? You know what the whole thing is, man? Being like, people out there saying, while you sleeping, I'm hustling.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. I can't do that, even though my therapist says that's wrong. And my wife says that's wrong. And my family says they're wrong. But guess what, man? They don't know.
Yeah, I'm here telling you, you're right, bro.
Yeah,
you're totally right, bro.
Yeah, and
you know who else is right? The fucking door-to-door solicitor that came to my house when my household had COVID, trying to sell me a water filtration system. And I'm yelling at him through the door, we have COVID. And
you
his
told
answer,
house has COVID.
You know what his answer was? Me too. like, you need to go right now. You need to fucking go. Me too. After you told me, he's like, I've got an appointment with your neighbor at 4 o'clock. You know, we're checking the water filtration system. Me too, man. Me too. I got it. Like, welcome to Side Stories,
holy
ladies and
shit.
Gentlemen. I am Marcus Parks. With me is the COVID-riddled Henry Zebrowski. I'm the Paxlovid, having the fucking, the vulture shit mouth that fucking Paxlovid gives you. My God. Yeah, how you doing?
I'm all right. You know, the Paxlovid does give you a little bit of a kick.
A little, it gave you a kick. Me, I just got the horrible shit mouth, and that was it. But I will tell everyone, it turns out I never tested positive for COVID. Carolina did.
You just kept taking it.
But I got the, what is it? I got the booster about a month before she did. So, hey, my booster worked. The only thing is I got some kind of weird chest thing. So my voice and my laugh, I'm not back to like, since I got a chest full of shit. You're getting smoker voice, ladies
it
and gentlemen.
It does sound like it. It feels like we're dialing it back and we're having a lot of fun. And I think that it's
just wait until I give the.
But, you know, honestly, I feel like that's what we're doing a lot of. Because in 2024, a lot of the stuff we're hoping to do is getting back to our weirdo roots.
Yeah.
Getting back into that because I miss it. And this week, I think part of the reason why I was so adamant about coming to work this week was because.
And by the way, you're at home. You're not here in the studio. Let everyone know you didn't come into the studio with COVID.
No. I say, again, I just give it to my family. I went to the police station and I just spread it there. It's holy shit. It's like I'm riddled. I'm sick, right? First of all, you know, one thank you to the Animate Raleigh. It was awesome. I had so much fun in Raleigh. But coming out, right? Obviously, I'm already kind of feeling rough. And the news. Is just like, I was like, what in the living fuck is happening? There is so much crazy shit flying around.
It's going to be a fucking rough year, ladies and gentlemen.
There's a lot going on right now. First of all, Ding, 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 ding. What's that sound? Epstein files revealed. Everybody's excited. Egg-shaped penis society unite. Who's got that egg-shaped dick?
Everyone's excited, confused, and disgusted all at the same time.
All the time. And I, first of all, everything that came out, we were, you know, everyone's pinging me. What do you think? It's not much new was revealed.
No.
From what we could see, it seems a lot of it was stuff was already public that came from the lady that had accused Prince Andrew of multiple things. We now know that Clinton was just around.
Yeah.
Right. If I was Bill Clinton, I wouldn't even put my name on a reservation list for a restaurant right now. I think that he is not good. Right. So God knows, you know, they all talk big on the thing. You know that things are weird when everybody on a plane is talking about how great Trump's casino is in Atlantic City. You know, that's bad because they talk about making an emergency stop in Jersey, which is like, who does that?
At Newark?
Who is looking for pork rolls so bad that they need to literally make an emergency turnaround stop for New Jersey? And you have a whole plane filled with illegal minors that are there as sex workers. I feel like, you know, again, very Jersey.
Yeah.
Stephen Hawking, have you heard the thing with the little people orgy?
Is this part of the Epstein release?
No, dude. This is all shit. So I'm half confused. I got sort of like brain fog. I looked it up. I just saw the term several times. Little people. It was Stephen Hawking, M-word orgy, right? I saw that several times. And then I looked it up. And first of all, there are some startling artist representations that have just began immediately. Because I get it.
Discussion and rumors. And this happened sometime or allegedly happened.
Allegedly. He's dead.
Stephen Hawking did not fucking have a little person orgy on Epstein Island in 2006. The fake testimony reads, yes, he liked watching undressed M-words, little people solve complex equations on a too high up chalkboard.
I want to see the animation of it. Obviously. Want to see that there. I want to see that Pixar movie, but I don't know. I don't know if it's real. I think that
I don't think it's not real. Of course, it's not real.
I'm just saying I got brain fog.
That one of the greatest minds of the 20th century got off on trying to make little people solve complex equations on a chalkboard that was too high for them to write on.
All I know is life is weird. I made out with Sharon Stone once. All right. And I don't think that that's real. I don't know what's happening.
Yeah.
A lot of weird shit. The tunnels. So that's just one thing. So the Epstein list is one thing. Variant. I don't really know what's going to come out of that. I have no idea if there's going to be further revelations. We don't know. Obviously, Ghislaine is still saying, did you see her latest statement about Little St. James?
No.
About how there was never once a woman on that island. And it's like, you were there, bitch. Like, you were there. You went there.
Yeah.
So it's she literally was like, not a single uterus or woman-associated person was on that entire island. And it's like, man, oh, man. I don't even know what you're thinking. Whatever. Fuck you, Ghislaine.
Yeah.
And so we don't know what the hell's going to happen. We've got tunnels under synagogues in New York City, which is no one knows jack shit about. We know that there was a conflict between the Hasidic community and the police. These tunnels were under a very important building. It's the Shabbat building, right? Isn't that what it's the pronounced? It's a very
important synagogue. And the from what I just read, the tunnels were leading to a ritual bathhouse, which, you know, and this is in Crown Heights, Brooklyn.
Yeah, we have no idea what's going on there. The police have not disclosed what the reason for these tunnels or what's happening. We do know that there was an intense fight between police and some of the younger members of the congregation. And they were all like, apparently there's a part of some fringe group that believes that their former leader might be a messiah. I have no idea. It's just very, again, I was just like sitting.
And this is
sick, sick as balls. Just being like, I have to get to a microphone. Where's the microphone? I gotta talk to someone. But it was just like, God knows what the hell that is.
It's the Hasidic community in Brooklyn. They are famously insular. They have their own police force. They have their own ambulance. They're very, very insular. It's hard to get any sort of information out from them as to what they're actually fucking up to.
I don't know what's going on.
Who knows? We may never know what the fuck's going on. But that tunnel, I mean, that video is insane. I mean, intense fight. It's more of a slap fight and a shove fight.
It's just for against the police. Yeah. And then they're pulling benches in front. They're barring them from because they went to go fill in the tunnel. Because I guess they were talking about concrete. The structure. They were really afraid of the structural integrity of the building getting fucked with. Yeah.
It's a fucking tunnel underneath an apart like a huge building in Brooklyn.
I just don't know how they did it. I don't know how they dug it. All I know is that it's been a fantasy of mine for a long time. I want tunnels. You know, I want tunnels. I want tunnels. I want the secret room. I actually asked that we were getting a closet redone and I asked them if I could build a secret compartment in the wall. If I could do that.
Yeah.
They looked at me like I was the fucking dangerous person.
Like you were on the fucking Epstein list.
But no, but I just said, no, it's like fun for me
to have the secret. What would you put back there? In the secret compartment.
It probably would just be hats. I have hundreds of graphic tees.
Yeah, you do. Well, you put your shoes back there.
No, the shoes got to be seen.
Okay, that is the whole point of the shoes, is that the shoes are seen, yeah.
They have to be seen. You can't hide those. I want it so that I can hide in there.
Oh, okay. So you can just hide yourself and leave your wife to deal with the home invader?
No, Natalie, get in there. She get in there, but it would have to be one or the other. We already know, we've already talked about this, the roles in our home. I tire the assassin, she finishes off. That's the idea. So,
yeah.
But
yeah,
our
roles in the home is I attack, she calls.
Yes, but eventually she's got to attack.
Yeah, eventually. But I mean, if he gets past me, then yeah, you know, it is up to her. I mean, she's not. I mean, she, and that's the thing. You don't want to corner Carolina. That's the last thing you want to do. That is a woman that is fantastic in a crisis. It's like her eyes go black like a doll's eyes.
No, I don't want to deal
with it. She fucking goes into survival mode. So yeah, you don't want to fuck with her.
See, what I want is you open it up and you don't know. And it's just got like a kind of a jerry-rigged version of a Batman suit in it. And so people think I've been, if I die in here, and then people think I've been avenging the city, like going in there. But also, I've been kind of thinking about the idea of like just a C4 vest.
Oh, okay. So your suicide vest.
Well, just in case, just to make anybody understand, like if you come into my home, I'll destroy this whole house.
So you're...
I'll blow up the whole house.
So you're comfortable like sleeping every night with a pile of C4 in your closet.
Yeah, but it's inert, right? Until you set it on fire. I don't know. I know it's a clay-like substance. I've just seen it in movies.
Yeah,
I've
you don't want it around. You don't want it around. Because what if there is a house fire? It's going to be like that fucking the flare fire and where the entire house explodes.
Again, mystery. Creating content. People are going to go like, ooh, what's that all about? You know, getting buzzed, driving up the algorithm.
Interesting, yeah. And if you die in that explosion, then that gives me an ad content for at least a couple of weeks.
See, everybody, again, everybody's doing great. Yeah. It's all, and then everybody can come to work with COVID and be ready to go. Everyone's going to be ready to go. And so these, again, no idea what's happening in the news. All this is fucked up. But I do know for a fucking fact that aliens have attacked Miami. One of the most precious, beautiful cities in this entire country of ours. And this thing's fucked up. Have you looked at this story?
Yeah. Yeah. I've looked at it.
And look at this. Right.
So you're firmly on the side that this was aliens. Why don't you explain the video? Explain the incident.
All right. So the Nephilim have visited Miami. Okay. And it's not just a guy who owns the Cuban sandwich shop. Nephilim are the ancient aliens that turned us from putrid, paltry little primates into the working class, intelligent-based primates that we are today in order to dig for gold for their starships. We already know this, all right? That's already set.
I thought that the Nephilim were the offspring of humans having sex with angels. In the book of, it wasn't that what the book of Enoch told us? Yeah, Rob, he's giving me a thumbs up. You don't have, your COVID brain is fucking you up, bro.
Nephilim. Nephilim is what you want it to be. Because I've also seen the Nephilim be described as the Watchers.
Yeah,
right. The Nephilim is also the Watchers, the ones that are beyond, the one that just watch everything that's happening.
Like the Watcher.
The children of the Watchers.
The children of the Watchers. Yeah.
The children of the Watchers. And they are also sometimes compared to the Anunnaki. Uh-huh. Right, which is also the original reptilian race that might be a part of the Nephilim. Might also be the ancient demons that inspired the Torah. Uh-huh.
Yeah, and your belief is that those aliens showed up at a fucking mall in Miami.
They had to, and so this is very interesting. Like, this is a very, because one of the trending topics on Twitter was Nephilim and to this. So this is a Florida police. So they happened at a Miami mall. There was a giant, the police claimed that 50 teenagers, they said possibly armed with sticks, were involved in a huge melee at the Bayside Marketplace, which is a local mall. And now the cops are saying straight up, nothing has been withheld from the public. We're not hiding aliens, but video from a police helicopter actually suggests otherwise. If you could see outside of the Bayside Mall, there's many police. So no one knows why. They shut off the power to the mall. They shut off the water to the mall. They shut down all of the ways into the mall. Right? No one knows, but there was a massive brawl.
Of course they know why, because the brawl, the kids had fireworks and they thought it was a fucking mass shooting at the mall.
Nephilim. So if you see this video, right, like watch, you see the spotlight hit these three aliens. You see these, look, all right. So there has been this, if there is a, everyone's saying rumors of shadow aliens, they look fairly solid. If you watch this video from the helicopter, you see a bunch of police there. They, you know, the lights are going. You see three shadowy, yet still very thick creatures. I'm going to say creatures. They are human-like in form, but they are walking slightly slower than you would. Right? So I'm viewing them as aliens. They are weird. It's weird looking. It's more just like, yes. Do how many police officers? Hundreds of police officers arrived to arrest what? But just a teenage fights? What are they? They're probably fighting over if Taylor Swift and Kelce, what's his name, are breaking up or whatever. They're probably there being like, oh, yo, Joe Coy at the Golden Globes was bad. You know what I mean? Like, who knows what these kids fight over anything? It's like, that's not what they're there for. Those kids were probably there chasing their Pokemons.
No, they're not there at all because the kids had fireworks and they were setting them off and they thought it was a mass shooting. That's not it at all what it was there for. They were there for the Anunnaki. They were there for these three strollabouts.
They had to control the narrative.
Okay.
All right, because you have these teenagers fighting, because I mean, you know, I do. We're all scared of teenagers.
Yeah.
Right.
No, everyone's always scared of every teenager. Oh, yeah. My God. And British teenagers that just went there, terrifying.
Terrifying because they got nothing to lose. Right. They don't understand their bodies and their hormones. They don't understand their rage within. Right. Yeah. They don't understand. So it's like, I do understand that's scary, but this is partially why I think I've been saying this for a while, where we have to have like a brigade of police that don't have guns, but they have like, we need more nets.
Yeah.
Sticky glue stuff where you coat them in a bunch of slime that sticks them to the ground, a bunch of like weird hardening foam, I think would actually be good for them. Like more ropes. I think a good way to kind of just pin them all to the ground for a while until everybody cools out. Yeah. And then you could show them some new, what's kids like, Diplo. You could show them like something. You could show them a video that'll calm them down. Be like, here you go. Here's a new, look at these new fucking killer ass Travis Scott Nike collabs. And then they'll all just go like, whoa, yeah, cool. You show them some Lego. They all
some,
just calm no, down.
Roblox. You show them some Roblox, man. Kids love Roblox.
Which is skibbity dibbity. Where's so it in the toilet?
Yeah. So your way of approaching law enforcement is that you want them to use tools that Adam West used in the old Batman TV show.
I think that's how we safely harness children. Right. Yeah, they're going to make sure that they don't hurt each other. But if it is a cool video. But why?
Yeah, it is.
All right. So if we're introducing, yes, everyone's making a big deal. Aliens. Is it aliens? Don't know. I find it interesting that we're focusing in on this piece of footage. Like, what was about it? Like, what the fuck were they looking at? There were three. They are, if you believe that this is real, they showed it on the fucking news. Those are weird. They're large, right?
They're large, and they're all very, they're very white. Like,
it's the
color of them is that it's very strange.
This is what I'm saying,
because they're not police officers, but on
this
the other hand,
there's a lot
of there's also a lot of spotlights around, which could make it appear from a police helicopter hundreds of feet up that they are all white.
Are they wearing reflective clothing? Is it a bunch of people from the Blue Man Group? Is it all the bunch of guys who was the Jabberwockies?
The Jabberwockies.
I don't know if it is the Jabberwockies. We're just in this year of this decade of God knows how we disseminate what is real and what is not real, what is confusing and what is not confusing. And something like this is that it's because obviously we hyper-focused in because the entire country is in love with aliens right now and is really looking for aliens and is seeing them everywhere. We got some jellyfish videos I'm going to show at some point on the stream that are truly frightening. I'm going to get you they are not balloons. Because if I hear the word balloon associated with the UFO, I know that you're racist against high strangeness. That's a racist term. Balloon lover is a racist term on UFO subreddits around the world.
Because that's been as far back as Roswell. It's weather balloon, 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 balloon. Yeah.
Balloon, 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 balloon.
A lot of balloon. It's a balloon.
I know balloons. All right. I've seen it too.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
I know balloons.
Yeah. Yeah. Your house is filled with them
every day because it keeps from destroying all of our precious chinas. Right. Everything's covered in a giant plastic like substance. But what, Marcus, to you, what is the goal of a news story that is purporting the idea that there are aliens in this conflict? Do you think that this helps alleviate the idea that it took 150 cops to subdue 50 teenagers with fireworks, so they have to sort of float this other idea? Because the cops are like, it's not aliens. It's not aliens.
Well, I mean, the cops are there. I would say that the cops' response to it was very similar to the official response to the Phoenix Lights. Remember when, what's his name? Fife Symington?
Fife Symington, that criminal who went ahead to eat his own hat.
Fife Symington, who was the mayor of Phoenix at the time during the infamous Phoenix Lights incident. He held a press conference and said, "We found the culprit. We found who did it." And he brought out a guy in an alien costume and everyone had a good laugh. But then years later, he did, as you said, eat his hat, saying that something very strange did happen. But this does happen quite a bit with, with the news. And it might be a way to alleviate the pressure of the people of Miami of why did 38 to 40 to 50 cop cars show up at the mall last night? But it is also, it's a fun human interest story.
Of course. The Vegas UFO story was really interesting. That popped up and kind of went away.
But they always give it that smile that, they always give it that wink and a nod.
But that's how we know we're on the right side.
Yeah. You think so?
And when the news starts saying serious things about the UFO situation or phenomenon, that's how the only way you can say it is mid-burp. It's the only way to actually say it is that when they are talking seriously about it, that's how I know they're talking to the government.
You think so?
Yes.
So when they're talking serious, so in your worldview, it's only real if they're making fun of it.
Yes. Called mental illness. But it is I really believe that though. I don't think that when they're talking seriously about UFOs, it feels like they are talking for a different purpose. When we went through the whole, when we took down all those UFOs at the beginning of last year, when all of that went down with all of the drones that were shot down, the spy balloons that were shot down, and then the mysterious objects that were shot down over Michigan and Alaska, it is, my view at the time was, which I still think is holding, is that what we did was that we shot up one spy balloon and then we also shot up a couple other private industry objects that were in the sky that were literally just floating there, and we just blew it up to just show everybody that we could blow up something the size of the sedan in the sky if we want to, that we can locate it and blow it up, and that mostly that was a slightly for show. I mean, you watch everybody talk very seriously about UFOs and it feels like we're playing some sort of international gamesmanship with other countries, with China and Russia, showing them what we can do. But it's, otherwise stuff like this, I don't mind a winky alien story, because then I know we're not being taken too seriously, because guess what happens when a serious light comes to all of these ufologists and people that are interested in it? It just ruins all of their lives. Lou Elizondo could not make it through a dozen pitch meetings. You know what I mean? It got to a point where it had too much heat for him.
Yeah.
You know, like it's too much stuff.
He
David Grush just canceled another Rogan appearance because he's now citing security issues. It does feel like it's because he doesn't have yet the next layer that he's trying to talk about. But maybe he is being threatened because it does sound like he is doubling down every day about what he's talking about.
Yeah, David Grush is he's an interesting character. And what I've been seeing amongst the UFO community is that the overall narrative right now is that human beings are in an experiment. And the reason why there is no disclosure is because the moment the world knows that we're an experiment, then the experiment is over and they start and they kill us all and start all over again. Like, did you read the story? Like, this one's been a big one lately. Apparently it's been around for a while, but I've been seeing it a lot. The Jimmy Carter story. Have you read this one?
Which one? I know this one that he saw. I know that he says that he's seen.
Well, the story is that, you know, he saw a UFO, you know, and he said during his campaign, like, once I get, I've seen a UFO, you know, call me crazy, whatever. I know what I saw. And he said, as soon as I get into office, I'm going to disclose that I'm going to look into UFOs. I'm going to see what the government knows. I'm going to disclose.
Clinton said the same thing.
Yeah. And the story goes that Jimmy Carter was taken into the back room. You know, he was taken in. He was told what the UFO phenomenon
scenario,
was.
We're dealing with. Yeah.
And then he came out of the room and broke into tears and was a broken man for about a couple of weeks because the speculation is that he was told that, you know, he was given proof that all the world's religions are merely parts of the experiment. And that his strong Christian faith over the years was a lie.
And then he's like, well, it gets time to put solar panels on the White House.
Is that my Jimmy Carter impression? Is that good?
Well, seems like we're going to have to invite Willie Nelson out here.
that's the Jimmy Carter. All right.
Man, he's old, huh?
Oh, yeah.
He doesn't remember when that happened. He doesn't remember when any of that shit happened.
No, he doesn't. But I've been seeing that story over and over and over again in the UFO forums that I follow.
Well, Bill Clinton also went through it. Obama went through it. Obama also, he was the only person. I find it interesting because I feel like with Democrat presidents, they're more willing to play with it.
Mm-hmm.
But it is they all do that. You remember famously Obama did the whole like, you know, like I'd have to, if I told you, I'd have to kill you when he did the whole like funny little bit. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, you do know, though, Obama.
Yeah.
You do know. And then you made one of the worst movies I have ever seen. That Julia Roberts movie is absolutely hot garbage.
Help us.
You
need to help us.
Help
you need to
us.
Stop making podcasts and shitty movies.
Help
and
us, help Obama.
Us.
Do something. I don't know what he's going to do. I don't know what he's going to do.
If one of your daughters is listening, if
Sasha,
Sasha, if you're listening, call your father. Tell him to help us. We need
Sasha.
Your help.
We need to do something. Right?
Call your dad. Say that two aging podcasters are asking for your help.
Help? Oh, apparently no. Don't worry. He says he's going to make a new series of Mentos commercials. So I think that's really going to help. I actually think it's going to be Vladimir Putin eating the Mentos, stopping the war. I mean, it's a good psyop.
Yeah, it is a good psyop, but we don't need freshness. We got plenty of freshness.
No. I mean, I'm not very fresh, but that's just because I haven't bathed in days.
Yeah.
Live from your grave.
Now, I talking about a psyop. This is another, again, weirdo fucking story that I absolutely love. This is straight from old school X.
Yeah.
This floated up. Now, this is a video that was emerged from a Chinese airline. This is in January. And it's interesting because it does not look staged. It's actually very frightening. It's very panicking and people are screaming on a plane. And this guy, another example of somebody having a full-on mental breakdown inside of a plane, if it is indeed a mental breakdown or something, God knows what the hell else it could be, is that the man claiming he tried to run and open up a door on a plane. We got to do something about this. There's got to be more of a cover on these.
There's got to be something else. I think, like, I know that the emergency exit, we're giving people too much responsibility with the emergency exit.
Right.
I think that we need to just get rid of that. There needs to be a guy that needs to be chosen, that needs to just sit next to that thing, and that's what he does. Maybe that's impossible. I know we had the flight warden?
The marshals.
I don't think that happens anymore. I don't think the flight marshals happens anymore. But it's like, we do need, there's something, because these doors are just like, people just grab them.
Yeah, well, thankfully this one was on the ground. Like, well, if you're up in the air, you can't open it up. But this was still on the ground.
I watch these doors now. I take it amongst myself that I will stop this.
Because you believe that if the door comes open like it did on that Alaska Airlines flight, if something pops off, you're going to be the man to save everyone.
I'm going to do it. Right? I'm going to stop. I'm going to do the let's roll. And I'm going to change everything. But so this guy, he opened up the emergency door of the plane screaming that he was in a time loop and that this was his sixth time, and that each time he went onto this plane, it crashed and he died and he woke back up on the plane.
Yeah.
And that it just took off again. And so this guy is screaming about how everybody's going to die and that we need to be careful. Because, and so everybody's flipping out and he's going, I'm trying to save everyone. I'm trying to save everyone. This is my sixth time in this loop.
This is like something out of Lost. Like, it's so fucking cool. Like, I mean, not cool. I mean, it's terrifying. But I'm just saying that because I'm like rewatching Lost right now in preparation for a stream that me and Caroline are going to do in the future. But maybe something, you know, Lost is just on my brain. But it does
feel like Lost. It feels like the X-Files. It feels like it's something that is extremely interesting to me, but also
or the Twilight
because
Zone.
It is the scariest thought I can have.
Yeah,
about what can happen on a plane. Obviously,
being stuck in a time loop of the plane crashing. But there is one small detail that does point towards like maybe this might be more of a mental breakdown. Is that he said,
Marcus,
how
fucking dare you, dog?
He said that the flight attendant wasn't human and was a robot who was changing her battery.
Well, you know, I mean, I don't know,
but it could be that this is some sort of experiment that there are robots on the plane. And they don't want to. But that's the thing, is that if he experienced the time loop, does that not mean that everybody on the plane is also experiencing the time loop?
Well, it's a little bit of I think they call it on the internet main character syndrome, where he sort of has this idea that they all are all in his time loop, right? That they are all subject to whatever happens to him. He's the only one outside of the consciousness point. And so that then technically would probably mean he's the only person with free will.
He's the Desmond in this situation. Okay. Yes. Yeah. Okay.
I do find it interesting because from obviously a lot of Chinese media is controlled. I mean, there's not a lot of that we get. This went straight to the internet. And I guess partially having it be grounded and having the flight be grounded would point more towards it being staged. But it is... I don't know what the purpose of it being staged would be. Like now we see the lady who came out that said that the man wasn't real, right? Like she's saying, I was just saying that because I was like, are you not being for real right now? Like, it's like, that was her answer to that, which was like, that's fucking weird. I just think that she still is yet to admit that she was very intoxicated. But this is another, allegedly, I don't know. I'm talking out of school, but she is just saying that you go you're not real about that, which is like, I just don't know what that means. I don't know why you would say that.
I think that's something that she came up with while talking to her friends and thought, and since she's not a very bright person, she thought that was the best she can come up with without taking any sort of responsibility about being too intoxicated on a plane.
And then being very frightening to a lot of people and freaked everybody out. It's because she was just kind of talking. But this guy is like, this guy is in distress. So on this, because it doesn't name the airline, but this guy is, it took a lot of people to pin him down. And you can literally, which also we talk about on the show all the time about how much we appreciate flight attendants and what they have to fucking go through they do. Because you just hear them calmly, or they've been like, everyone return to your seats. Everyone just, if you could just, you know, put on your seatbelts and we will move forward. And like, they're all trying to be very calm, except for everybody that's there pinning this guy to the ground, being like,
We're all gonna die. Everybody's gonna die. I've seen this before. I've been in this time loop. Because as soon as I'm here in time loop,
yeah,
I'm off the plane.
Yeah.
Like, I'm gone. I'm done. My trip is canceled.
Yeah. I wonder if there is something about airplane, because it does seem like there is so much wacky shit happening on airplanes over the last few years. It's been in the last 3 years that just wacky shit keeps happening on airplanes over and over and over again. And it could be, you know, partly the whole not necessarily confirmation bias. I can't remember exactly what it's called, but the idea that because we all have like ubiquitous recording devices are in every single person's pocket, and every single incident that happens anywhere in the world can immediately
frozen
time and immediately uploaded to the internet for the entire world to see. So maybe shit's always been wacky on airplanes. Maybe it has been.
Part of my theory is that we are in an obviously high stress point in society.
Yes.
We have not dealt with the residual, I'm just going to go use the term, a trauma.
Yeah.
For what we all dealt with as a society during COVID, and no one really wants to admit it because we've been desperate. We're all just desperately trying to move on, which I do understand. Right? People are just trying to get society back on its fucking on track. But I do think that it's the people are crazy. I think airlines are nuts.
Yeah.
The prices are out of control.
You think so?
Right. You got that. You got a little bit of the prices are out of control. So people are like ramped up. Customer service is weird. You know what I mean? I don't know. I just feel like there's a lot of stuff going on, and just the constant, ever pervasive, big brother eye that we have kept on ourselves with our own cell phones.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's everything. That's the thing, is that shit's always been fucked in the world. It's just now we get to see everybody's little corner of the world getting fucked up at all
24/7.
Yeah. Because everyone's corner of the world gets fucked up sometimes. We all encounter weird shit. You know, we lived in New York for forever. You know, you encounter weird shit there on a daily basis. Like, so much so that when weird, super weird shit would happen, I would sometimes forget about it. Like, within the hour. And then like later that day, someone will say something and it.
Like, remember when that guy dresses, Mickey Mouse cut his dick off? And you're like, yeah.
But someone will say something to like remind you. It's like, oh yeah, like this thing happened to me like earlier today. And they're like, how the fuck did you not walk into the room telling me about that? I'm like,
a lot of stuff going
on. I forgot.
There's a lot of stuff going on.
I totally forgot that it happened until just now.
Because there's problems. Exactly. Mickey Mouse guy happened. And I saw Jake Gyllenhaal on the train. Now it's like that first memory's erased. Now I know Jake Gyllenhaal. Oh, he's just like us.
Yeah, he's just like us.
Look at that. He's out there. He's just on the train. Is that incredible? Is.
Yeah, he's just like us. Tobey Maguire loves the train.
Loves the train.
Yeah.
Too much. I think it's too much. Who loves the train? I like the train.
I love the train. I miss that's the number one thing I miss from New York.
I do miss the train. I do miss the train.
I love the train.
Wait, no, it's just fucked. I don't want to be in a time loop.
No, time loop sounds like one of the biggest nightmare scenarios. Because you always see when people describe hell. Like, well, when people describe hell, it's always like you should be stuck in the worst moment of your life forever.
No!
To live it over and over and over again.
No!
I shall kill your daughter and make you relive her death. Day after day.
Leave Wendy alone. This is what would you do
if I was stuck in a time loop?
Would you do the Bill Murray thing? You learn to play the piano? Would you seduce? Would you try to seduce her or make the one woman in the town that you knew from before? Would you get to know everything about her and then slowly seduce her in a way that was actually kind of stalkerish, but she doesn't know that you spent 40 years in a time loop?
I have no idea what I would do. I mean, I think I would try.
Because Groundhog Day, they said it was 40 years.
40 years. Is that what they finally like figured out was 40 years?
I think that was it was in the script.
Ah, that it was that eventually by the end years. Of it was 40 years. Man, yeah, I think that I would make much more of an effort to escape. Because I feel like the one thing that I always thought was missing from that movie is that he never made an effort to escape the town.
Well, technically, I think a lot of it is assuming that hundreds of those were if he did commit suicide multiple times.
No, I mean,
kept coming back.
Physically leaving the town. Like, I mean, not
you just
trying
to
himself.
Run. You just get in your car and just drive.
You get in it because that's the thing is that they act like the you know, Grover's Mill. Like they act like
Okay, it's Punxsutawney Pete. And it was Punxsutawney.
Yeah, they act like this town is like an island in the middle of the Pacific Ocean. Like, it's a place. But maybe it's a town in Pennsylvania.
Well, he did the whole thing where he led the cops on the chase, and then he drove out of town. I do think he might have tried. That might have been in the movie where he just drove and drove and drove and drove and drove and drove and drove, and then he woke up and he was back in Punxsutawney.
Yeah, it could be. It really, you know,
because I think that's what they're saying is that he had to change, Marcus.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that's what this guy needs to learn. And I wonder what is it about him that he's doing wrong. And I think that we should bring him, because he's obviously probably in some form of mental institution now.
Yeah.
Bring him Andy McDowell.
Who's still stunning, by the way.
Stunning. We bring him Andy McDowell. She goes, you know, she does a thing. She kind of gives him, you know, a little bit of a ribbing. Mm-hmm. Being like, oh, maybe, and then maybe it'll give him something to live for.
That adorable maybe, Southern accent. Just, yeah, bring in America's Sweetheart of the 90s.
I mean, that, I feel like that would help him a lot she if he met her.
She could tell him about his experience working with John Travolta and Michael.
I mean, I would love to hear that myself.
Uh-huh.
And then I think she was also, I would love, was she also in Phenomenon? No, that's Kira Sedgwick.
That's Kira Sedgwick. No, no, no. She
so if Andy McDowell doesn't work for him in that, we'll bring him Kira Sedgwick.
Bring in Kira Sedgwick. And then she can talk about her experiences filming with John Travolta. Yeah.
And the Phenomenon about how he had a brain tumor.
I hear he's a delight on set.
I hear he's a delight. But then you can tell, then you can find out whether or not the guy had a brain tumor, secretly psychic. Yeah. That's what the thing is. He thinks he's psychic. He thinks it's a touch from an angel. But Andy McDowell was in Michael. She was in Michael.
Yeah, psychokinetic. He's psychokinetic in Phenomenon. Yeah, he can move things with his mind, and he becomes very intelligent.
He becomes so intelligent
that he can make electricity come. That's powder.
That's the movie made by the pedophile.
Yeah,
powder is the one.
Feel free to bring your children to the set.
Yeah. And they can, hey, just so you know, I actually went and had these special knee saddles made for your children. If you want to use these just to make it so they aren't ruined. Their taints aren't hurt by my rough knees.
Yeah.
I feel like, again, maybe he needs John Travolta.
I think everybody needs John Travolta.
Skip these women altogether. Bring him John Travolta because he's looking for goodwill.
He is. He really is. I feel like he's looking for some distractions. You know, he's been in mourning for a while. We take him out over to China. We have him talk to this man. He talks about his own experiences filming Michael. And
he talks about Michael from his perspective. And he talks about how uncomfortable the fucking wings were and shit.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Yeah, well, speaking
and
of...
And he dances for him a little bit. And
Oh, yeah. He wears his best toupee. You show him time is just a number. He's like, oh, you think you're in a time loop? He puts his tie, he puts the toupee on. I'm Danny Zuko. You know, like he's just like, wow, holy shit.
1976.
1982. 1993. You know what I mean? Like, he puts different wigs
on. Luscious hair in Michael.
He really did. He really did. Not a strand of it made that from a horse. Talk about made from a horse. I don't know the segue to get into this story, but you brought in the most frightening story of the week. The fentanyl bags being replaced with water by that nurse, which is like, that's a whole fucked up thing that happened. They're being accused right now. This is in Oregon. A nurse swapped fentanyl with IVs filled with tap water, but I think it's got a lot to do with her addiction to fentanyl. Yeah.
She was taking the fentanyl for herself and replacing the tubes of tap water, and 10 people died. But the other unfortunate death story that we have is that this one is absolutely terrifying. It happened in South Carolina. Apparently, there was an elderly couple. Their names were Joan Littlejohn and Glenwood Fowler. They were 84 and 82 years old.
Oh, God.
A couple of weeks ago.
It's a Meemaw and Papu.
Oh, yeah. This is Meemaw and Papu all over. Yeah.
Yes.
A couple of weeks ago, one of them was complaining to their children that their house was cold. You know, it's wintertime. It gets a little chilly out in South Carolina. And so the kids came over, found that the pilot light had gone out in their boiler. And so they lit the pilot light. They fiddled with some of the wires. I think that's the most important thing here is they fiddled with wires.
I'm just going to say, man, there are certain things you can fix in your home. There's certain things you know how to fix. And I've watched YouTube videos and I learned how to do fuses and YouTube videos, and learn how to do little fixed things in my refrigerator and my garbage disposal and YouTube videos. But when it comes to the heater of your home, I wouldn't fuck with it. And
fuck
Ed
no.
did talk. Ed talked massive shit about HVAC people last episode. And I do want to say, because he got into a whole thing about HVAC people. And then I got a lot of also several emails that said that HVAC back and forth. Some people saying HVAC people are saviors. Some people from HVAC people saying, hey, we are HVAC people, we'd listen. And then they got some people saying that they are, the HVAC people are evil. But I don't know what the thing is. You still, we need them.
The HVAC people are just scamming you?
There's a lot of people. There's a lot of differing opinions. But when it comes down to it, we need them. So I'm just staying neutral. I'm Switzerland. Yeah.
No, and this story definitely confirmed, like, I'm we never fucking need- with any sort of HVAC system in any way whatsoever, because this elderly couple was not heard from for a week. So the kids asked the police to go check on them. Maybe they didn't live in the same town. I don't know why, but the police went on a welfare check.
They weren't around probably. Because
yeah. They walked inside and found that the temperature inside the house was 120 degrees. And they found that the boiler was set to 1,000 degrees.
It's not good. They were pierogied to death.
The couple was, of course, both dead. Their bodies were, the temperature of the bodies was 106 degrees Fahrenheit.
They were cooked. They were literally steam cooked.
The man was found lying on the bed unclothed, and the woman was at the side of the bed, clothed and slouched in a chair. Both of them had mobility issues. The man had just taken a fall. The woman had just recently broken her hip. So what seems to have happened is that the heat in their house rapidly rose. The heat itself made them too lethargic to move, and they cooked to death.
I don't want this. The only way I'd want to be cooked to death if it was on the beautiful beaches of the Cayman Islands.
Of course.
When I'm sitting there with my Mai Tai and I'm allowing myself to be cooked to death slowly but surely, wrapped, I guess, in garbage bags and Vaseline.
Yeah.
Waiting for me to slowly succumb. But it is, this is horrifying.
It's incredible that the house did not just explode, because they said that the air of natural gas was very, very strong. And you
know, what's the brand of that heater? Because that's actually very good. If you can run that at 1,000, that's like Hieronymus Bosch level temperature. Like that is not good. That is the furnace of hell.
They went to the basement and discovered that the heater was so hot that it looked as if the basement was currently on fire, but it was not. It was just glowing so brightly that everything looked like it was aflame.
You think about this. They walked down there. It was just going, it's Freddy Krueger's boiler. That's where Freddy Krueger lived.
Yeah.
Where it's like the idea of it glowing orange.
Yeah.
Like you go down there, it's very fucking bad. I have no idea how it ran so long.
Yeah.
How did it go?
I don't know. I mean, it is an incredible heater.
It's an incredible heater.
But it's not an incredible heater, because through just some simple fiddling of the wires, they didn't set it to 1,000 degrees Fahrenheit.
The heater set itself.
Yeah, the meter set itself to 1,000 degrees, and they cooked to death because of it. So it's good for durability, bad for programmability.
Do we find out whether or not this heater's Gen Z and it was quiet quitting?
quite clever of you.
It's just quitting.
Yeah,
it's not quite. There is nothing quiet about it. You're just quitting. All right, no. You're just called. No, you're just barely doing the job. You're quitting. But this is why we need robots. We need helper robots. I do think in many ways the elderly could be helped with helper robots. That no matter what, they're uncorruptible. They can't be like Stephen Hawking, where they'll make you cheat on your wife, where they can't seduce you while you're in there.
Wait, okay, so you're saying that Stephen Hawking's robot made him cheat on his...
No, I'm saying that he had a human nurse. He had a human nurse,
uh-huh.
And that was the problem. He spent too much time with the human nurse. They seduced each other, broke up the marriage.
Right.
But I think that if you had a robot in there,
mm-hmm. That has a temperature. That has it. that has a temperature gauge, and if the temperature gets too high, the robot calls the police and
drags you out to the street. Right? It grabs you and drags you out to the street and leaves you out there naked but alive.
But for how long, though? It's cold. They're going to die of exposure. Because what's the robot going to do after it dry? Because I just can't imagine that scene. You're walking your dog down the street.
Dude, it's just playing a song and just spinning.
Just playing Push It by Salt and Pepper. But imagine that scene. You're walking your dog and all of a sudden there's a robot dragging two naked septuagenarians onto the fucking lawn and just leaving
another
them there.
Robot doing its job. You know, I just move on. You know, just like Wendy and Carmi furiously smelling the machine, just being like, you guys look sweaty. You're a problem. You guys need a blanket or something?
Truly, we have arrived in the future.
Dude, it's just spinning in a circle. Oh man, someone put this on tone loke mode. I don't know who did that. That was not good. It doesn't help anybody. Like, but that's horrifying.
Yeah, it is. And it is horrifying. So, yeah, if you do start to feel the heat going up and up and up and up, give someone a call.
That's also, you know,
I've never heard of this ever happening. This is the first time I've ever heard of something like this happening.
Where they're looking for the cause of death now. They're saying that the carbon dioxide or monoxide levels in the house were not at a dangerous level.
No,
they said that it wasn't that. It literally was they were overcome by heat. Yeah. They passed out and they just didn't wake up.
I'm sure they suffocated.
It's got to be. Hopefully we still have a show. You know, because then someone will check in.
Yeah, that's because
we have ads.
Yeah, we have to fulfill our ad obligation. Someone comes and checks in on us.
Knock, 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 knock. Then they can at least go and find out. Being like, we do a. Is there a Simply Safe? We actually need a Simply Safe from you, Henry. Oh my god! Oh my god! His dick is stuck in the fucking vacuum cleaner.
Help me.
I sought new pleasures and I have since been punished. Oh God, Rob. Oh God, my. Don't say. Oh,
Bark.
Put the camera down.
Bark.com demands their ads.
Put the camera down. This isn't content.
Fly from your grave.
Have you seen? All right, let's go one bit of lighter news before we get into letters. This is weird. I don't really know what happened here. This is like, this is a poo-poo, this is a tangential poo-poo story. It's a toilet story. But this is really kind of out of the scope here. And if you think it's like about the exploding toilet.
Yeah, a toilet exploded all over a man named Paul Kerouac in Florida at a Dunkin' Donuts. This is in Orlando, and he is filing a lawsuit for $100,000, which seems low.
It does, but he said it's from, like, he got covered in dookie and then debris from the toilet. But this is my thing. It's that they said, I don't know what they mean by toilet exploded, right? Like, did it literally explode? Like, I want to see the actual aftermath of it.
I mean,
He
says he suffered bodily injury. Well, that's the thing, is that this happened in January 2022. This happened 2 years ago.
Yes, because he's probably been waiting.
Yeah.
They've been waiting to figure out. But he says it exploded. Does it mean it collapsed or it literally exploded? And then they said that when he told management, they quote unquote weren't surprised because they've had issues with the toilet before. So the toilet has bubbled up, has almost exploded. Like the toilet has redlined.
Yeah, I think the toilet redlined a couple of times. But like, and they quite possibly had a guy bring it out. Who knows? Maybe they brought out a plumber who didn't know what he was doing. Maybe there was some sort of pressure involved. There was probably pressure in the pipes. There was some sort of blockage.
What does that mean that we've had that type of issue with this toilet before? What are you talking about?
Rob, why were you just nodding your head so vigorously? Do you have experience with this?
I used to be a plumber.
No shit.
Yeah.
So what is your professional plumber opinion on this?
I think they had a power flusher issue going on. You ever go into like a restaurant and you flush and it's really strong?
Oh, it's so loud that it hurts your ears.
Yeah. It could be something going on with one of those.
No shit. So, but can you adjust the power of a flush?
Yeah.
Wow.
Wow. Wow. This is great.
That's a really nice Dunkin' Donuts if they have a power flusher.
I don't know if it is.
They probably do. I think by law they need to.
I think they need to go, for Dunkin' Donuts. have you ever had an extra large black coffee at Dunkin' Donuts? And then you just go, you eat a couple of jelly donuts, and then you just sit there like, yeah, dude, that's like the Moab of fucking, you have to be, you need a, I think they need thicker throats. I think those toilets need to be bigger.
No, but I've never sat in a Dunkin' Donuts and drank an entire pot of an entire cup of black coffee. What are you doing? Just sitting there staring into the middle distance, passing, marking time?
Yes. You act like that. That's not. Yeah. I did it for fucking years, dog. You've never had multiple commercial editions in a row.
Ah, I see.
You know how many times I would sit there? I've never told you that story about how the one time I was, I remember I was at a Dunkin' Donuts. I had a bunch of different, it was like when I had a morning job, an afternoon job, and a night job, but I was doing commercial auditions in between the jobs. And so I was like running on 4 hours of sleep. Each night I was drinking a pint of Canadian mist just to go to sleep, you know? I remember one time I fell asleep inside of the Dunkin' Donuts. I fell asleep perched up inside of one of the booths, and then a cop woke me up, and I woke up to a cop, and he's like, hey, woke sleeping. Hey, wait a second. Is that you? And he pointed to the television that was on the Dunkin' Donuts, and it was Matt McCarthy in a Verizon commercial. And who looked just like, we looked just like each other.
Old friend Matt McCarthy, yeah.
Yeah, and I was just like, literally, it was like, would I be asleep in a Dunkin' Donuts if I was the Verizon man?
Did you tell him no, but I know that guy?
Yes, of course. And he says, nice. Don't fucking sleep in here. You're making a problem. You're making it a problem here. You're ruining the ambiance of the Midtown Dunkin' Donuts that you're in. And I was just like,
Midtown Dunkin' Donuts. Is it anything like the Midtown, like the fucking McDonald's that's around the corner from Midtown Comics? Because those Midtown fast food chains are just, those are disgusting.
It really was just a place. It was a marker of time. It was literally just to sit and be nothing.
Yeah.
And I used to sit there amongst the others, but that's how I knew. I knew that I was real. Because the police officer came and woke me up. I knew. I was like, I'm in this to win this.
And you weren't caught in a time loop, marking time in a Dunkin' Donuts.
No, because if I was going to be in a time loop, I would have left. Would have left the Dunkin' Donuts.
Would you rather be in a time loop, a six-hour time loop at a Dunkin' Donuts, or in the six-hour time loop on the airplane?
Dunkin' Donuts. Never in an airplane. I hate airplanes. You know I don't like being on airplanes.
Yeah.
So, always choose Dunkin' Donuts, but I don't want to be there either. That one I would leave. I would try to leave. I'd run. Especially, I guess, if I knew the toilet was going to explode and that was the time loop I was on over and over again, as that I went in and I died in a toilet explosion. Yeah. And then each time I had to come out, like, because that's groundhog day where you have to go and you have to shit the same horrendous diarrhea splatters, and then it explodes, and then you die in a fucking spray of your own blood and shit, and then you have to come out every day, and then you wake up back in that Dunkin' Donuts. Yeah, man, that's fucking hell. That would be horrible. I don't want to deal with it.
Let's get to some listener emails.
It's some listener emails. Next week we'll get to how Andrew Lloyd Webber had to hire a priest to get rid of a poltergeist in his home, but that's the only thing about that story.
Yeah. Well, you don't really need to do anything else besides that. That's the whole story.
That is literally the entire story. I wish it was more, but he doesn't go into it. I forgot his son died.
Yeah. Really tragic.
It is. I'm just saying, it's just that.
Do you want to do a little Phantom, though? I'll do a little Phantom if you'll do a little
Masquerade!
Phantom.
Paper faces on parade. Masquerade. Hide your face. Yep. That's what he did. He rolled out and he had a poltergeist. So
I'll do mine.
The music of the night. I was so mad. I was so mad when they shut that down, man. That's so sad.
I got to see it right before. Actually, that was like the last fun thing I did before COVID.
It was worth it.
Yeah.
Right?
It was incredible to see Phantom on Broadway. Yeah.
It's good. It's a good show. Have you seen this?
Have you seen it?
All right, here's a listener email. This is about inserting stuff into penises. Now, we talked a little bit last week. I did a bit of a run-up with Eddie last week about Gypsy Rose Blanchard. But we need to talk about that at some point, maybe more officially. We might be doing a whole Munchausen by proxy
episode series, which I think would be interesting.
It's just so sad.
But
the stories we got were so incredibly sad.
Extremely sad. But I do think that it is, it's fascinating in terms of the mental outlook. So I feel like there's might be a way to talk about it from the perspective of the people with it versus the victims of it. We talk about it because it's really, really fucked up. I also want to issue a broad apology to Natalia Grace. Because I want to just say that on the record, because that Max documentary series is harrowing.
Yeah, I plan to watch it this week.
It is fucked. And they had the evidence that she was a little girl. They knew she was a little girl. So it is fucked. And her former adoptive father is one of the worst / most interesting characters in true crime I've seen in a long time. That guy is fucking nuts.
Okay.
I don't know what's going on. You have to watch it.
I'm looking forward to it.
Fucked. All right. So here we go. Inserting stuff into penises. Because we talked about this last week. Now, we talked about how last week people do this thing where they whittle down dominoes into little soft shapes, and they use razors. They cut it into the skins of their penises and they put it up inside of their penises and they use it for texture.
And this is in jail.
This is in jail.
Yeah. This is not just some guy doing. Going and picking up a set of dominoes from Hobby Lobby. And
I mean, hey, I'm not saying it's not.
Yeah,
it probably is. But we are focused on Jim. So there's a whole, I guess there's a whole movement within the bodification. They talk about in the world. This is a thing that it comes up.
Yeah.
So this listener, I could shed some light on the prison surgeries involving subcutaneous dominoes in the penis. This is the prison version of the genital modification known as pearling or genital beading, where small beads of Teflon, silicone, surgical steel, titanium are inserted beneath the skin of the genitals, which if you're doing in a tattoo shop, I guess is fine.
Yeah, I knew a piercer in college who had genital beading. I mean, overall, he had 7 modifications to his penis.
I say me and my penis are allies. Mm-hmm. I'm leaving him alone. I already did the biggest crime of circumcision.
Yeah.
I've already done that to him.
But that guy, he really had to go all in with piercing because he was piercing at a tattoo shop.
Called, oh, you got to.
Called, but his the tattoo shop was called Piercecution.
Yes, he had to do that. That he had to stay on brand.
Yeah,
it's gross. This can be, so now they're saying this can be done now. Also, they do this with the labias. This is not just, this is also with vaginas too. It is done for aesthetic reasons as well as to enhance the partner's sexual experience.
Mm-hmm.
The history of this modification is really interesting. The oldest recorded description suggests that this existed in Southeast Asia, such as the Philippines, by as early as the early 1400s and is in use today, apparently by members of the Yakuza, Filipino sailors, and your average Jane and Joe who are into that sort of thing. One fascinating historical version of pearling was used in the Philippines and made it so that the penis could only be inserted by the woman. It could only be extracted once the penis was completely flaccid. I guess this would make people who are into nodding perk up. Ugh.
Yeah.
Now, here are some historical descriptions. Pins made of gold, ivory, or brass were inserted in young boys through their penis heads. As the boys grew older, these pins would be decorated, and they would later fasten bluntly spiked rings for the stimulation of their sexual partners. As many as 30 different kinds to, quote-unquote, cater to a lady's choice. Both young and old males pierced their penises with a gold or tin rod the size of a goose quill. In both ends of the same bolt, some have what resembles a spur with points upon the ends. Others are like the head of a cart nail. In the middle of the bolt is a hole through which they urinate. The bolt and the spurs always hold firm. Mm. They say that the women wish it so. And if they did otherwise, they would not have communication with them. And when a man wishes to have intercourse with a woman, she takes his penis, not in the normal way, but gently introduces first the top spur and then the bottom one into her vagina. Once inside, the penis becomes erect and cannot be withdrawn until it is limp, which is fine. Yeah. I feel if this is how we want to do a day, joy.
Not for you, but
not for me,
but for others, and good on you.
Do as thou wilt. Mm. But it does sound rough.
Yeah, it sounds real rough. You go because through a lot to get there.
Especially with your underwear. Because it's different when you, I just feel like some of this material, you're going to get caught. Something's going to get caught, right?
Mm-hmm.
How often, more often than not, side stories, LPOTL@gmail.com. How often are we getting our penis piercings caught on things?
I'm wondering how many penis piercings and vagina piercings get, you know, lobbied up.
I mean, with ladies, I've seen like the little, but with vaginas, I've seen the beads on them.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah, I've seen those too. Yeah. The vagina beading. But, yeah. You remember vajazzling?
Oh, I remember vajazzling. Vajazzling. Have you ever made love to a woman with someone with a pierced clit?
No, never have.
Well, I thought it would be you.
I mean, I've made love to women with pierced nipples, but never pierced clitorises.
Well, it doesn't fucking mean anything. It doesn't do anything. It doesn't change the sensation.
Piercing, whether, yeah, it was not that far down, but.
And a lot of these other, honestly, I'm going to wait because we have these other stories, but we'll wait on a poo-poo story. And we got another, like, because they're coming in. We're going to wait on these. It's not good enough. We're going to get in there. And I got another broken penis story that is just horrifying. I don't even know if I could get into it because it was like, you got to bleed it. Got to do a lot of stuff. It's a mistake because we brought up last week about how there is a spike in broken penis injuries during Christmas.
Really?
Because people are feeling festive. And entirely, it's involving, the entire holiday involves a cryptid that people sit on its lap.
Yeah, that is true. And there's also many phallic symbols just surrounding
tree.
You. Just candy,
tree.
Trees,
there.
Candy canes, all kinds of shit.
And candy
and, oh, and the candy cane. Notice it is a phallic symbol, yet a bent one. Coincidence?
Takes representation. And or I really appreciate it.
It could be some sort of subconscious thought and is manifesting itself in bent penises. It could be one of those things where the power of Christmas, the power of the candy cane manifests broken penises.
So live every day knowing for a fact that there is Christmas candy that is out there for us bent dick guys.
Yeah.
All right. Because you're going to love the fact that your penis is a slight, even almost extreme curve to it because it actually really does. And then you're going to laugh knowing that most people actually enjoy a fairly curved penis.
So I'm saying, so I'm assuming that you have a curved penis.
I don't know. I wouldn't know. I'm just saying.
You know what's funny? I used to have a curved penis, but then it straightened out all on its own.
And you said that you didn't want to wear the foreskin stretcher.
No, I didn't want to wear the foreskin stretcher. I could, because I didn't do anything to modify it to straighten it out.
You did it something.
Just, it straightened out all. I don't know.
I feel like you put it in your pants different. I think that's really what it's about. I think it's how you're tugging. I think you don't understand that you're tugging it the other way. You're doing it like how plants go towards the light.
You know what I really think it is? Is that when I was young, I was tugging it with the right. Because,
this is what I'm literally what I'm saying.
Well, I was tugging it with the right for so long, but then once the internet became, you know, a part of the
rights the mouse.
So I used the left, and the left pulled it back and straightened it up, and it's been there ever since.
Wow, you know, I feel like that's important to know.
Yeah,
because that's just know that, guys. You can do it yourself. So you know, brothers are doing it for themselves.
Yeah, really. We're all doing it for ourselves.
We are. All right, guys. It's been an episode of Side Stories. You know what I say? Even though I can't think, we made it.
I think we made it. I think we made it fine. And
yeah,
I
made
can't,
it fine.
And even my, like, I got a little bit of a sore throat, but I feel like my voice is not quite so smokery.
And then
since we began.
This week for last podcast and left, we're getting back into some weirdo territory.
Yeah.
I'm very excited for you to hear what we have to unveil. Let's say it involves shapes.
Shapes.
Right?
It's going to be you.
Is that a good tease?
You're bringing more shapes into it. You're taking the shape thing a little too literally.
I'm bringing shapes.
You're taking the shape thing way too literally.
Oh, shapes are around, friends. All right? Shapes are doing it. You can't trust a shape. You don't know what's inside of it.
We'll get into it. We're going to talk about it. We're going to debate it, unfortunately.
Yes. We're going to really unpack
this. I don't know why
this
is a debate I have to have with you, but it's going to be a debate we're going to have.
Because you're locked in. Right? You're locked in with me. It's you versus me on this.
Yeah.
And then we have Operation Sunshine. I think we got number 4 coming out soon.
Number 4 is coming out next week, I believe.
It's next week. And I think Last Comic Book on the Left, you can pre-order issue 4. Am I wrong?
I'm not sure about that one. But I do know that on the Last Comic Book on the Left, we're waiting for like just a couple of pieces of art to come in. I think this is the best issue that we've done yet. I think it's the best one yet. I got to write a story with comics legend Matt Wagner, on this one, which was absolutely an incredible experience. So I can't wait for you guys to read that. He taught me a lot.
He taught us both a lot.
Yes, he taught us both quite a bit because he's fucking... He's Matt Wagner. He did Grendel. Yes. He did Mage. He did Sandman yes. Mystery Theater. It's fucking everybody Matt Wagner.
It's like David Rubin just taught me a thing for OSS. These guys, I mean, it's because we don't know anything and they know everything. So it's nice for them to please give us information. Yeah.
So thank you, Matt Wagner. And thank you, Brennan Wagner, for coloring the story for us. Brennan did a fantastic story about Edgewood in issue 3, Last Comic Book on the Left. So we're really proud of this one. We're really excited for y'all to see this fourth issue. It's so fucking good.
It's really, really good. And I think that's it for now. Hail Sweet Satan.
Oh, and hail Gene.
Yeah, fuckers. See you next week.
Bye.
This show is made possible by listeners like you. Thanks to our ad sponsors. You can support our shows by supporting them. For more shows like the one you just listened to, go to lastpodcastnetwork.com.